This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company. For more information and links to all our great podcasts, visit hartmanmedia.com.
Welcome to the Jet Setter Show, where we explore lifestyle-friendly destinations worldwide. Enjoy and learn from a variety of experts on topics ranging from upscale travel at wholesale prices to retiring overseas, to global real estate and business opportunities, to tax havens and expatriate opportunities. You'll get great ideas on unique cultures, causes, and cruise vacations. Whether you're wealthy or just want to live a wealthy lifestyle, the Jet Setter Show is for you. Here's your host, Jason Hartman.
It's my pleasure to welcome Ladan Juracek to the show. He is the host of the Travel Wisdom Podcast. And in doing his show, he has learned a lot about not just the how to travel, but more importantly, the why of travel and what travel does in terms of enriching us all as people and the things that can lead to success in other endeavors in our life. Ladan, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's a pleasure to be on the show.
It's good to have you. So you're coming to us from Dresden, Germany, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Fantastic. And then you're moving soon, right?
Yeah, I'm getting ready to move to Bangalore, India.
Wow, that's exotic. The Silicon Valley of India.
Yeah, exactly. Never been there before in my life, never been to India, but getting ready to move there and live there for at least 8 months. And so, yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Well, I've only been to New Delhi there. I've been to 74 countries, and India was one of them. And I've only been to New Delhi, and India's it's primitive, so get ready.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder if it's like that in Bangalore, though, because that's sort of the tech hub of India. You know, that's the Silicon Valley of India. So I'm kind of curious. I can't wait to hear more from you about it.
Exactly. I'm very curious as well. I mean, I think it's kind of like it has like a duality. You know, on one side, it's very, very high tech. And I've seen pictures of like the Google building, you know, complete glass buildings and it's just shined up and polished and looks amazing. And then like literally 50 feet away is, you know,
is a rickshaw on a dirt road, right?
Exactly. Ox pulled cart. But the thing I'm scared about actually generally over there is, I guess there's like rolling blackouts. So electricity turns off for part of the day and even water. Water is only on for like 2-3 hours of the day because of like the elevation over there. So I'm a little bit nervous about that. We'll see how that goes long term.
That is just crazy. You know, I got to tell you, by the way, in doing my show, in interviewing all of these people who are expats, I have a significant contingent of people who are kind of, I call them the America haters. You know, the people who think America's going to hell in a handbasket, and they're Americans, mm-hmm. You know, but they're like, oh, I got to move to Costa Rica or something. And every time I talk to these people and interview them on the show, first of all, they always have crappy internet connections and they always have constantly, I hear things like, oh, you know what? I'm sorry I had to change the appointment on you, but we had a blackout this morning. And so the power was out for about 45 minutes and it messed up my schedule. I mean, really? Like, you really think that's better than living in the States? I don't get it, honestly. But, you know, I'm anxious to hear what you'll say moving from, you know, an advanced country like Germany to India. That's going to be an interesting contrast for sure.
Yeah, there's pros and cons to every country. I mean, even I don't know if I would necessarily be one of those America haters, but I definitely don't like it there. I don't want to be moving there in the next. I don't want to be living there next, let's say, 5 years or something like that. I really
there meaning the U.S.
Yes. Yeah. So
and what's your nationality? Are you American?
Yes, I am American actually.
Okay. Yeah. And do you have a German passport as well?
No, I don't. I'm actually my background is Slovak. Like that's where my parents are from, and I'm in the process of getting a Czechoslovakian passport.
Okay. So why don't you want to live in the States in the next 5 years? What do you think? Do you think America's falling apart like so many of my guests do?
A little bit. Like I had to stop watching a really good show, The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. I love the show, but it just angered me every time. You know, I'm just like, I can't believe you. I can't believe this. But anyways, that's not really the biggest issue. For me, I would say it's not as interesting, you know, and it's kind of like, you know, been there, done that. I know what's going to happen. And frankly, I can speak the language, so I know what everybody's talking about. And then that just kind of makes it less interesting. You know, when everybody around you is like speaking a foreign exotic language, it's just like, ooh, what are they saying? Maybe they're saying something really smart. And as I've been living here in Germany now 18 months, I'm kind of realizing, yeah, they're not really saying anything that smart.
Yeah, right, exactly.
They're not philosophizing over anything that intelligent. Right.
No, that's interesting. Well, that'll be an interesting adventure for you. So tell us about your sort of angle on your show. You have this angle of the why of travel, that it's really important as an enriching experience, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So actually, I'm very blessed because my family, as I mentioned, they're from Slovakia, so like Eastern Europe, you know, kind of close to Poland. And so we would go to Europe a lot, and that's why Europe for me is just like home, and just like Mexico. And so traveling was kind of in my blood for a very long time. And then it was the first year of college, and I was going to do my summer semester, and my mom basically bribed me not to do it. She's like, I'll buy you a plane ticket wherever you want to go. Just don't do the summer semester. It's going to be too much work. So like, okay, you know, and I literally went up to a friend that I knew for 2 months at that point and just like, hey man, want to go to Russia with me? He's like, okay. And it was just that easy. And this kind of sparked a yearly tradition of going every summer to certain areas. So that first year was a nonsensical trip that completely doesn't make sense when you think about it and look at it on a map. But it was Russia, Greece, and Belgium, France, UK. And then the second year was kind of the Middle East. So like Turkey, Georgia, Syria, Jordan, Egypt, UAE, and stuff like this. And then the third year was Cairo to Johannesburg in Africa. And so basically, yeah, doing this, I've traveled to slightly just a tad bit more than you, 80 countries now. I don't know if it's the same for you, but it's kind of gets difficult. Like, at what point do you say you've been to a country? Like, I don't know, do you have to be there for like 3, 4, 5 days or a week? Or, what's a country also? Because I've been to some places like Nagorno-Karabakh, you know, which is like not officially authorized by the UN, but also they're, I don't know. So it gets a little bit complicated.
Okay, so I'll tell you my things.
Okay, okay.
And maybe when I'm on your show, we talk about this too. But, mm-hmm. but I was in Belize once. I've been to Belize a couple of times. And, you know, of course, I've now got a spreadsheet with all 74 of the countries that I've visited. And I was in Belize. Guatemala is right next door. So my buddy and I, we walked over the border into Guatemala, went through customs, went to a little shack, basically. Guatemala is a very primitive country. And went to a little shack and had a beer and took a picture. And I count that as one of my 74 countries. So,
oh, wow.
And then we walked back. So other people have different requirements. You know, is it sleeping there a night? Is it just going through customs and getting a stamp in your passport? Is it having a beer? Is it, you know, hooking up with a girl? You know, I'm just saying, you know, people have different definitions. I've heard them all. So
Oh, man.
I think that's kind of
that
funny.
That last one is funny.
But yeah, so I'm not going to say that I am an expert on Guatemala, for example. And I count the Vatican and, you know, Monaco.
Yeah.
Those are countries, technically. So, you know, Anyway, there you go.
Very cool.
My definition. You know, I remember my first trip to Europe as an adult. I was born in Europe, but my first trip there as an adult, you know, that was just such an incredibly eye-opening experience for me. You really can't describe it. There's just something you glean from traveling like that I don't know if you can really get it any other way.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can. You can kind of emulate it. You can do it. But the really important thing about it, and, you know, as I've talked to more and more people, I'm trying to find the essence of what it is that makes it so special. And I think it's the fact that you talk to people that are completely different from you, that are completely different than anything you would ever come into contact with. I mean, for example, if you're in Minneapolis, for example, then you know, you mostly talk to people who are from Minneapolis, and you wouldn't talk to the, you know, the Somali goat herder, or, you know, the Tibetan monk, or, you know, the German, I don't know, cheesemaker or whatever. But that's something that you very easily come into contact with, you know, when you're traveling. And that...
And dear Somali goat herders in Minneapolis, pardon, I'm sorry if we missed you on that one, but yeah.
You are a unique bunch, and yeah. Come get on my show. Right. I would love to interview you. So yeah, I mean, I think it's these conversations actually that change, you know, the perspective on how you look at the world and what's important to you and be like, oh, well, this person, you know, does things this way. Yeah, they seem to be doing okay. And so really, it's just a matter of opinion. And it really expands your horizons and it gives you wisdom, which is why I named the show Travel Wisdom.
Yeah. Tell us about some of your guests. I see you had Peter Sage on. I'm just publishing my episode with him today on my Creating Wealth podcast. That's episode 490 on that show. And Peter Sage, interesting guy, but you've had a bunch of really interesting guests on your show. Tell us about some of your favorites and, you know, what you've learned from some of them.
Peter Sage was great. It was really good to hear all his stories. And he has so many inspirational, the thing that sticks out in my mind was the Marathon de la Sang. I don't know. My French is not very good, but it's the 5-day marathon in a row. And then I think on the fourth day, it's like a double marathon. It's through the Sahara Desert. And so this is probably the most intense, you know, foot race ever that you could ever do that mankind could ever do. And he did it. And his story of that is awesome. It's very inspirational. And I mean, he just really had some setbacks, even at the beginning, before it started. It was amazing how he could get through it. So really, it's amazing to hear his success stories and what all the stuff he's done. He's a serial entrepreneur and started many successful companies and now doing like space related companies. So it's really cool. Yeah, there's just really amazing guests so far. And, you know, I had Chris Guillebeau on the show as well. And actually a very popular guest was Steve Kaufman of LingQ. He does language learning. He's a 69-year-old who started learning more or less a lot of languages at the age of 59. And since 59, he has learned 5 additional languages, and I speak Czech actually as well, and so I tested him out, and he's pretty good. Like, I think he would, you know, with some brushing up, with a day or two, you know, in the country, he would get by, and he could do whatever he wanted to do, which you know, kind of dispels the notion that you can't learn languages when you're old, because he started at 59 and is currently learning it at 69. So yeah, anybody can do it. Another one I would say is Ben Whateley of Memrise. As you can tell I like this language learning stuff. This is a vocabulary learning program, or like a flashcard program, but it uses MEMS, which are just clever tricks to like remember words. So I'll teach you a German word right now. The German word for dedicate is widmen, and it's just like, man, how am I going to remember this? Widmen. And they have a meme on there, like one of the pictures of a fat guy eating a sandwich, and it's wide men dedicate themselves to eating sandwiches. Boom. And you just remember it forever. That image sticks with you forever, and it just really helps put it in your head. And actually, the reason I like it so much is because I got invited to a conference later on because of the interview, and it just opened up so many doors. And because of that, I really have a, you know, because of that interview, I may have a business that I might be starting in India, which will be accent reduction training, which I'm surprisingly qualified for.
That's interesting. Okay, good stuff. So what advice would you give to people who want to really travel and see more of the world? You know, for example, where should they start? I think that's a good question. If they haven't done much travel so far and they want to take on the globe and start really becoming enriched by this, any recommendations?
Yeah, so I mean, the first thing you do before you leave, you have to, I guess, change your mindset. Like, there's a few mindsets that you have to, you know, kind of be cognizant of. So one of them is that, you know, the world is safe. You know, it's more or less just as safe as you know, the city that you're in. And so it really, that's not a big deal. And also, I like to, the reason I'm doing this podcast is because it's to justify kind of being able to spend more money. Because when it's not just a vacation, when it's not just like a frivolous expenditure, it becomes, you know, when it becomes a learning experience and something that is an investment into your future and into your success, into your knowledge, then that kind of, it's worth a little bit more money, at least in my mind. And I'm a little bit more willing to like really invest the time and the energy and the effort to absorb as much as I can. Yeah, I mean, last thing, kind of money is not as important. So my listeners are usually like students, like anywhere 18 to 25, something like this. And generally, I mean, the tickets aren't tickets vary in price. You can get anywhere from $300 to $1,500 for a round trip ticket somewhere. But generally, I like to calculate also about $900 to $2,000 per month of living somewhere, and this also depends on the country you go and how fast you travel and all this. But generally, yeah, about $1,200 a month is enough. And I mean, I don't know about your financial situation, but $1,200 a month, I mean, even within a year, I think that's very possible to save up. But I mean, if you do want to do it, and if you are on a budget, then I would definitely recommend Central America, like what you said, like Guatemala or something like this, or I heard Nicaragua is very nice, very cheap, and yet very safe, very interesting. And
I hear you might get kidnapped in Nicaragua, but okay.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I actually had one guest who got kidnapped, but it was in Bangladesh, and apparently it was a very polite and cordial
kidnapping.
Cordial thing.
Yeah, as kidnappings go, right? Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, they're just like they're asking him. It was Wandering Earl. They're asking like, please take out your money, you know, out of your ATM, and he just inputs the wrong PIN code. They had him for 2-3 days, but like fed him really nice and like were really nice to him. And eventually, there was one time where they brought his bag or something like this, and he just kind of was able to run away and nothing happened. Yeah, that's. I mean, things like this do happen. Generally, I've been safe. I've traveled for over a year. You know, like extreme backpacking. Different place every few days, and I've never really had any problems. I've been robbed once while I was sleeping on the train, you know, in Romania, and that was just 100 euros disappeared out of my wallet. That's it. Otherwise, places are generally safer than you might expect. But yeah, Nicaragua. I mean, this is also actually you mentioned 4-hour work week and this series of books as being an inspiration. I think he talks about this doing some medical tourism in Nicaragua and kind of breaking down the costs and how you could rent a beachfront villa for you and your 10 friends for a week for cheaper than surgery in the States, and then have that same surgery by the best doctor in Central America. So
yeah, I remain skeptical of that, by the way. I think that the medical care in America is pretty awesome, but whatever. I just think that's a huge risk. You know, look, if someone is not able to afford it here, then I understand it. But if you have the choice and you have the money, I would be very... I've heard some horror stories about medical tourism. And I'm not saying it's all bad. I'm just saying you really have to be careful. You know, this is your life you're dealing with, okay? You know.
Well, I mean, of course, I guess it depends what it is, you know, and if it's like, I guess, an optional thing and maybe how well you've researched it. You know, for example, I've done dentist work in, you know, other countries and you know, it's been okay. And generally when you come back, I mean, the dentist can, you know, comment on the previous work of the last dentist and be like, whoa, what happened here?
Yeah. Right. And you're assuming it's dental, which is not as serious probably.
But yeah.
So any other insights you want to share with people?
Yeah, basically I just want to teach on my podcast that traveling is easier than you might expect and cheaper than you might expect and would teach you more than you might expect. And especially memories and I guess skills also that really can translate into work, personal life, friends, family, all this kind of stuff. And it really, you come back a better person when you do travel. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's definitely a good thing to do. It's very enriching. You know, you talk about the social aspect of travel, and in the U.S. at least, I don't know worldwide, but, you know, marriage is becoming pretty unpopular, frankly. I read an article about this recently. In the States, marriage rates are lower than they've ever been. You have a lot more single travelers now, you know, whether they're literally traveling solo or they're just single people traveling. And one of the big things they want to do is they want to get engaged with a social network. Any tips on networking, dating, getting involved in the community? It would be so awesome if you could just go somewhere and sort of have an instant social life, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, of course, I've done my fair share of single traveling and enjoyed it very much. Yeah, there's definitely ways to do it. So, I mean, I really like dating podcasts. Even though I have a girlfriend, I really like the social aspects of it and what it means. And a lot of them, a lot of times, just...
I can't imagine she's okay with you listening to dating podcasts, but okay.
Honestly, she just... I'm subscribed to like 50 podcasts, so she doesn't even know, and I just... I can justify it.
She might know now.
Yeah. Well, so the thing that really interests me in the dating podcast is they talk about cold approaches a lot, which is basically, you know, you're at a bar or something like this, and you just literally go up to somebody, to a girl, and be like, hey, you know, why are clouds white, you know, and just start a conversation and you know, and then step three, you know, is a relationship or hooking up or something like this. My experience and I don't find that as pleasant, but I highly recommend basically groups and services and stuff like this. So there's something called couch surfing, and I highly, highly, highly recommend it. Not only because it saves you money and literally cuts your travel expenses in half, but also when you do couch surfing and you stay with somebody, you know, after you've checked their profile and you know, written with them, maybe, I don't know, Skype or something like that if you want as well. Call them, you get to know them very well, and I've found that over 50% of the time they take you out to like some kind of social event, be it a house party or just a meeting or some kind of gathering or just generally to meet some of their friends. And then when you do that, I mean, your network is expanded in the country, and you meet so many more people, but not in just like a superficial, like being in a bar way, but it's like, oh, you know, we really talked and we had a good conversation, and now we know a little bit about each other. So later on, if the two of us are out somewhere and the other person knows somebody else, they can introduce me in a, you know, in a useful way and be like, oh, this is so-and-so. He loves making bowling balls. I don't know, stupid example, but just something like this. And I find this is much more useful than doing the cold approaches, because it's more, I guess, natural to what humans are supposed to do. And so this is very useful, especially if you're in in an area around the type of person that you want to meet, you know, for a relationship and stuff like this. And you know, I tell you.
So the couch surfing, before you go on, though, I just want to finish the couch surfing thing. With the couch surfing issue, you know, what do you do if you're a higher end traveler? I mean, couch surfing is kind of for kids, you know, it's for young people that don't mind their, you know, if they get crappy accommodations, etc. And it is social. And I've read some funny articles about couch surfing and so forth. You know, any advice for people that they don't want to sleep on someone's couch? Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, you can do Airbnb. And I was just talking with a woman yesterday who's a successful woman, has a master's degree, lives in Austin. And she rents rooms out of her house via Airbnb. And it's really not even so much for the money. It's just she enjoys it. You know, she meets all kinds of people. They just come to her house, people from everywhere in the world. And I said, have you ever had a bad experience? And she goes, no, it's been great. And I, wow, that's really cool, you know?
Yeah. Well, I don't do couch surfing a lot of times for the money also, but now, I mean, yeah, sometimes you do want privacy and yeah. So I've done Airbnb, and the benefit with Airbnb too is you can get some really cool stuff like tree houses, boat houses, yurts.
Yeah, really interesting. I mean,
yeah. Yeah. And that's definitely a memory. Like you stay in a yurt and it's just like, you come back and you're like, guys, guess what I did? And the benefit there too is a lot of times you do meet the owners. I guess with couchsurfing, you're more obligated, I guess, to spend more time and talk with them a little bit more. Airbnb, not so much. But that doesn't mean you don't have to. I mean, you can still attend a couchsurfing event, you know, in a city, or a meetup event, you know. So you're there, you know, and you just look it up. Look up these two websites, and meetup.com or couchsurfing, and see if there's some interesting event going on in the area while you're staying there. And that's a great way to meet people as well. You know, when I was living in Berlin a few years ago, it was amazing. Like in Berlin, there was literally like only on couchsurfing, there was like 3, 4, 5 events per day. And actually I'm really excited now going to Bangalore, because on meetup.
Like an event, like a meetup, is that a couchsurfing meetup? I mean, people, what do they do? Just go meet at a coffee shop or something?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it depends. I mean, again, with both of these, it can be either just like, yeah, just people in the area or traveling through, or, you know, locals meeting up or, you know, people meeting to do yoga, or people meeting to do poetry reading, or I don't know, underwater basket weaving, or, you know, literally almost anything that you want. And, I mean, especially in the bigger cities, it's a little bit more popular. And I'm really excited because in Bangalore, where I'm going to be moving, there's like 30 meetups per day. And I'm just like, whoa, there's literally almost any topic that I would ever want, you know, and I can just attend it. and you know, see if it interests me, see if the you know, I strike a chord with the people there and make some friends. And you know, that as a single traveler is really good, because if you don't have like a meaningful conversation after, I would say even 24 hours as a single traveler, you kind of start going a little bit, I don't know, cabin crazy or stir crazy. It's just like, oh man, I need to talk to somebody. I need to have like,
yeah, you feel homesick.
Yeah, exactly, you know? Exactly. And this can kind of make the homesickness go away, because I mean, obviously if you're having fun, then you can't dwell on how much you miss home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good stuff. Well, give out your website, tell people where they can find the show and find out more about what you do.
Yeah, thank you. My name is Ladin, and you can find me on iTunes, Travel Wisdom Podcast, or travelwisdompodcast.com. And yeah, also for your guests, especially for your guests, if you have any questions or you want to personally ask me any questions, also you can write me at travelwisdompodcast@gmail.com, and I'll personally write any suggestions. Maybe we can hop on Skype and give, you know, talk about whatever you want. Share my knowledge with you. That's just what I want to do is to be able to share my knowledge and to show that travel really is a beneficial thing.
Ladin, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. It has been my pleasure.
This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company, all rights reserved. For distribution or publication rights and media interviews, please visit www.hartmanmedia.com or email media@hartmanmedia.com. Nothing on this show should be considered specific personal or professional advice. Please consult an appropriate tax, legal, real estate, or business professional for individualized advice. Opinions of guests are their own, and the host is acting on behalf of Platinum Properties Investor Network, Inc., exclusively.